Thank you, Tim. We'll be in Luke chapter 1 this week, and then next week, and then chapter 2 the following week. And we just trust that a story we've heard over and over and over every Christmas season, shame on us, we ought to preach it in July, you know, it's the greatest truth ever, but we save it. You know, will become fresh and new to us as we hear again. Jesus in the womb. Fascinating thought, isn't it? To me it is. God inside a woman's belly, the womb. You know, most of us can remember a day in our life when things were drastically changed. Suddenly the course of our life took a different turn that maybe we never expected. It wasn't in our plan, and I love the song that Abby and Scott played, sang and played for us. In fact, I'm speaking at a banquet tonight in Princeton, and I'm going to copy that and read those lyrics when I'm done with my devotional, because it fits perfect. It fits perfect with this message as well. And you know, God's story, He writes a story upon our life, and many times that story isn't what we planned, not how we wrote it out. And sometimes change in our life brings great joy. All change isn't bad, is it? Sometimes it might be a new beginning, maybe a new job, moving to a new city, exciting, you know, challenges, hunting for that first home, maybe the anticipation of marriage, joining in with another and saying, I do, and then 5 years later saying, I wish I didn't do. No, something like that. The hope of an expected child on the way. I remember every time getting the news, we're going to have a baby. And after I got up off the floor, hey, that's pretty cool. Actually, I waited to faint in the delivery room, but I made it through every time. So there's a lot of joys that we start out with, change in life. But there's also some changes that bring sadness and heartache. It's good to see May here this morning, one of our workers at the funeral home. And, you know, each week we stand by sometimes several people whose lives have been drastically changed. They just lost somebody in their life that was their rock, somebody that was there every day, and now they're gone. Sometimes change can be hard. The death of a loved one, a traumatic event of any kind that can change the course of our lives. World events. I remember when the space shuttle exploded. Remember where you were? I was in college. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? And the dean of students walked in our classroom and told us. And I used to watch those shuttles go off in Florida. I could see it where we lived, that I could watch them go off. And the Twin Towers falling down, the Pentagon getting crashed into, the plane falling in Pennsylvania. A tornado a couple of days ago. One night you're living in your house, and the next few hours you have no house. You have no building to go to work. Change is a part of life. Mary and Joseph were about to have their lives changed, weren't they? I mean, drastically changed. Mary was probably 16, 17, 18 years old, something like that. What a change that they would never forget. They would alter their plans from that time forward. But it was God's change, God's plan, God's story in their life. The plan of grace in sending His Son. And today we're going to look at God's element, but it's also neat to see the human element of this story. Because God used real human beings to put God the Son in her womb. So our first point today is simply this, and these are really application points as we go through. There is no need to question God's timing. Sometimes we question God's timing, don't we? Do you ever say, not now, Lord, not now. This isn't the time this should be happening. No, no, maybe next week, but not today. Mary and Joseph were just living their lives day in and day out, going through their routine. Okay, I don't know what was in the coffee, but I need more of it. Hey, I don't mind inventing new words. Retune. All right, they were going through their routine. Joseph was going to his carpentry shop. Oh, my goodness. I guess I blew my horn too much today. Carpentry shop. And Mary was getting up, probably, you know, cleaning the clothes and She learned scripture. She was a godly woman because in her song in the next few verses, which we won't get to today, she quoted scripture after scripture after scripture. So they're just going through their day-to-day routine. The God who is in heaven, knowing that it was his perfect time, decided it was time to step down from heaven and to continue his plan of redemption through these two people. The day had arrived when their life would be drastically changed forever. And we've all been there, have we not? God chose them to be a part of this specific plan. God knew them. He chose them by his grace. God knew where they lived. God knew where they were at. None of this is by accident or chance or happenstance. God didn't one day go, you know, maybe I ought to send Jesus tomorrow, and or maybe in 9 months, and who can I pick? Oh, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a Mary by her. Oh, I can pick Mary. Looks like she'd be a good pregnant woman. No, this is planned before the eternity foundation of the world. God knew everything. But there are a number of verses in this passage that we can't pass over that are of deep theological truth. Now, theology might be boring to some. It's not boring to me. But I think they're so crucial. So I want to look at these as we also look at the human element that we see. Look at verse 27. This angel came, verse 26, Gabriel, sent from God. That's God's plan. He knew exactly where they were, to a city of Galilee. It was named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So first of all, we learn that the mother of Jesus had to be a virgin. Matthew 1, 22 and 23 says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means in the Hebrew and Greek, God with us. Jesus' mother had to be a virgin. Jesus could not have an earthly father. The seed of a man could not bring forth Jesus because sin is passed by the man, not the woman. That's why that is so crucial. Romans 5:12 says the sin nature passes on through man. Jesus could not have an earthly father. Therefore, by one man, sin passed unto the world and death by sin, and therefore all of us have received sin and death. It was not Mary's fault in the garden, even though she took of the fruit. It was Adam's fault, we find out in the scripture. 2 Corinthians says, for our sake, God made Jesus be sin for us who knew no sin. He was the sinless one. So therefore, he did not have a human daddy because he would have been a sinner. And in order to die for our sin, he had to be the perfect Lamb of God, spotless. So we learn right away in verse 27 that she had never been with a man, and she was about to be with child. Talk about change, right? Secondly, we learn the mother of Jesus was legally married to Joseph. Do you see that in verse 27? Joseph, she was to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, this is different than in our day. In our day, you get engaged. You go out, you go to Drosty's or something, you buy a ring, you know, or whatever, and you get on your knee and you say, wilt thou marry me, my beloved one? And she says, oh, wiltest thou I, or whatever it is, you know. Will you marry me? Well, back in Jesus' day and in Bible days at this time, the betrothal was considered a legal marriage. Joseph and Mary were legally married. They had not come together yet physically. And by the way, a physical union does not make you married. Marriage is when two people make a covenant of companionship before God that they will eliminate the other person's loneliness for all of time and life. It is not good that man be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. That's the purpose of marriage, to eliminate your partner's loneliness. So they were not married. They both were virgin. But they were considered married. And the only way to break that marriage was to be divorced. And remember what Joseph was going to do when he found out Mary was pregnant? Can you imagine that day? His beloved Mary, this wonderful, chaste, pure young lady. And I assume she was beautiful. I don't know. Maybe God picked an ugly woman. I'm not sure. But I'm sure, I assume that she was beautiful to Joseph. And by word of mouth, whatever, oh my goodness, she's pregnant. He thought she had gone out on him, and he decides to divorce her, but it's awesome to see the scripture say he decided to divorce her quietly. He could have made a public spectacle. He could have embarrassed her, But then God came to Joseph and said, hold the phone here. They didn't have phones back then, but hold whatever. Don't do what you're going to do. She's with child by me. The Holy Spirit has come upon her. Don't divorce her. So they were legally married. Third, we learn another important theological factor, that in order for Jesus to be Son of God and to be king, mom and dad both had to be in the line of King David. They had to come from the tribe of Judah. Remember, one of Jesus' titles is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And so we find out in Scripture that Joseph is in the royal line of David and Mary's in the bloodline of David. And 2 Samuel 7 gives us the Davidic covenant, which God said to David, I will make you a house, I'll raise up a king after you, and my kingdom that I give you will last forever and ever. So whoever is going to be the king of his people had to be from the line of David. And so we find out here in verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So all of the T's are being crossed and the I's are being dotted. Everything is perfect here. God knows what he's doing. So we find out that this angel shows up to Mary. We're not told where she is. Is she out doing laundry? Is she out praying? Is she, staring at the beautiful countryside? Is she cleaning fish? Whatever she's doing, it doesn't matter. But this angel arrives. Now, I personally think that this angel took upon the form of a man, because she says nothing like, whoa, this winged angel is standing in front of me with this booming voice. There's nothing like that at all. In fact, we're told here that Mary was shocked and she was afraid, but not by what he looked like, but by what he said to her. So I personally believe, though it doesn't say to us, that an angel's oftentimes take the form of a human in Scripture, that all of a sudden this man was just standing in front of her and he began to talk with her. Now, if you go back to Zechariah, who's the father of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, that's why it says in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel came. Elizabeth was in her 6 months of pregnancy with John the Baptist. That's why that 6 months is there. When Zechariah the priest saw that angel who told him that plan, he was afraid. So I have a feeling that angel was in the temple with maybe looking like an angel. He was afraid. How did he get there? But notice in verse 28 what this angel says to Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. The word favored there in the Greek is karatao, which simply means grace. To freely give grace. In fact, literally in the Greek, the angel said, greetings, you favored with grace. What if your wife woke up and said, greetings, thou husband of mine? Well, my wife says, greetings, thou wonderful, perfect, handsome husband of mine. And I say, greetings back to you, O beautiful woman of mine. No, I don't. But isn't that awesome? Greetings, you who has received grace. That's what the word favor means. Do you know Mary needed grace? Some denominations elevate grace to deity, Mary to deity, godhood. She's not God. She's never been God. In fact, in her song, she called herself a sinner. She said, the Lord, my Savior. And we find out here that Mary needed grace, just like you need grace and I need grace. Mary is never sinless. Mary was never perpetually sinless. Mary was a sinner like us. She was a girl. She was a human being. She was a fallen person. And all she did was God decided to give her this special grace to carry the baby Jesus. And look what else. Not only are we find out that she has God's grace, in verse 28 it says, the Lord's with you. God is present with you. Your life's about to change big time. And we just want you to know, God sent me with this message. He has favored you with grace, but he's with you. He is right next to you. God's plan, his power, his presence, his provisions to you. So there's no need, Mary, to question God's timing in your life, although he stepped in big time and changed you. I like Galatians 4:4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. It was the perfect time. Back in the days where Rome had made all these roads, it was easy to travel. Everything was perfect for the coming of Jesus. So secondly, there's no need to fear God's choice. God chooses and God has a choice, and there's no need to fear when God chooses you and your life changes big time. So look again at verse 29. She was greatly troubled at the saying, and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. I mean, she is greatly troubled. The Greek word is not just kind of, you know, this is a little weird. I'm a little out of sorts. No, this is greatly troubled. The Greek word means through to the limit, all stirred up, distressed. So the angel comes to her. She is through to the limit, all stirred up and distressed. Not Mary. You know, in my manger scene, she's never distressed. She's just sitting there the same way year after year. I'd like to see a manger scene, you know, kind of, you know, distressed, or at least a pre-manger scene. But she is. The Living Standard Bible says she's very perplexed. Wouldn't you be? Yeah. And the angel is so perceptive. Look at verse 30. He perceives what Mary's going through. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." There's the Greek word again. You have found grace with God. Phobeomai. We get our word phobos, phobia, fear. There's no need to have a phobia of me telling you these words. And in fact, this is also a present imperative. It's a command. Do not fear. I command you. Do not be afraid. And the word also means you can flee and stay, or you can flee or stay. You can run or stay. Mary, don't run away from this. There's no need to fear. God's chosen you. This is God's path for you. You know, fear is a normal part of life, isn't it? It is. All of us are afraid of things. You know, I'm trying to list some, but all I can think of is meatloaf. You know, but all of us have things that we struggle with. Fear. Fear is a normal part of life. The key is what we do with it. Do we flee or do we stay? And once again, he says in verse 30, you've got grace. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Look at verse 31. He lays out the plan. Behold, you will conceive in your womb. Now, right now, she might be thinking, oh, cool, Joseph and I will go through with the marriage. We'll have that huge Jewish ceremony, which they did, and I'll get pregnant 9 months later. No, that's not the plan here. But he tells her, you will conceive in your womb, and you're going to have a son. Now, isn't that awesome? I've taken thousands of people to ultrasound. And usually when I took a man to ultrasound, and they had all that fluid, I'd usually make a joke. Are you pregnant? That joke got old pretty quick, so I stopped doing it. But God told her, no ultrasound, no x-rays, you're going to have a boy. And they didn't have any ceremony where they blew up a blue balloon or anything like we do in our world, but you're going to have a son. We find out in Matthew 1:20, what is conceived of her is the Holy Spirit. Man did not put his seed in her. The Holy Spirit put Jesus in a seed form in her. Isn't that amazing? And not only that, God picked out his name. Verse 31, the end of it. You shall call his name Jesus, Jesus. Now, one of the great things about having a baby is you get to pick a name, right? And boy, do some people pick the weirdest of names these days. I'm telling you what, it's bizarre. But Jesus picked the name God picked the name, which was Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Jesus saved. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh, it dwelt among us. We have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the Son of God. He saves. I mean, Mary's taken all this in. Look at verse 32. He will be great. Everything he does is megas, is the word, great. We use that word mega in our day. And he will be called the Son of the Most High. So he's God. He's God in flesh. Mary, this baby in you is God. I don't know about you, but I think I'd start to shake a little bit myself. Verse 32. The rest of it, he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. There it is again. He is going to be in the line of David. He is in the line of David. God the Father's plan is to make Jesus the king. And that will come when he returns with trumpet sound, finally. In fact, all of the Bible shared this. Genesis 49, the scepter, the throne, will not depart from Judah. 2 Timothy 2, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, the offspring of David. Revelation 5:5, weep no more, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, is conquered so that he can open up the scroll. Revelation 22:16, Jesus has sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Isn't that amazing? All of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation just blends beautifully together. And look at verse 33. This Jesus who's in your womb, Mary, will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So this king will be king forever, and this kingdom will never end. The United States will end one day, China will end one day, Japan will end one day, but never God's kingdom, never. And notice here it says in verse 33, over the house of Jacob. That is the Jewish people. But remember in the New Testament, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a descendant of Abraham. You are of the house of Jacob as well, spiritually. So now I tried to boil this down. Here is what the angel said to Mary. Mary, don't be afraid. God's inside you. Okay. No need to be afraid there. I've never been with a man. God's inside me. Don't be afraid. God has chosen you. You know what God brings into our life? We have no need to fear as well. Challenges, difficulties, pressures, whatever it may be. Change for good, the marriage, the baby, the new job, or changed for hurt, death, tornadoes blowing down your house, whatever it may be. I like what David said. David said, I'm never afraid. You know what David said in Psalm 56:3? When I am afraid. Oh, King David got afraid? I'll trust in you. Thirdly, that was the long point, by the way. There is no need to doubt God's power. Now, let me ask you this. What would be the next words out of your mouth if tomorrow morning this was you and you got up to brush your teeth, getting ready to go to work or to go out and feed the chickens or whatever you do in the morning, and a man showed up in your living room? Hello, Susie. How are you? I'm doing good. How'd you get in here? And Susie's like 16. You're with child and God's inside you. What would be your next question? How can that be? I've never been with a man. I mean, isn't that a great question? Look at verse 34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? I mean, that's a great question. I think that, well, I'm a man, but that would have been my question if I were a woman, right? Yeah, what a great question. And God, having told this angel Gabriel all the information he needed to know, in verse 35, simply explains it to her. The angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, because he doesn't have a man father, the Son of God. Joseph would have been his foster father, so to speak. And he was his legal father, but not his real seed father. And I love this word. Look in verse 35. The power of the Most High God will overshadow you. Episkeazo, to envelop you. When I worked at the airport and college at Florida, in Florida, it'd be 99, 100 degrees. There'd be no wind, and that sun would hit that ramp, and you would just be like miserable. It would be so hot. It would just be like, oh, you ever be so hot where you're sticky when you walk? You know, it's just horrible. And I remember that I would find a wing, an airplane wing, and I would get under that wing, under that shadow, and just stand there. Hope the boss doesn't see me. And sometimes, if a jet came down, and they fly pretty high, you know, and there would be like frost under the wing. And I'd be under that shadow of that wing, and I'd take that frost and kind of push it and drip it on me. It was like, this is better than Christmas. But it enveloped me. And God said to Mary through this angel, the power of God will overshadow you. What a cool way to say that. In other words, Mary, this is not necessarily easy. We're going to see that in week 3. She's going to experience a lot of pain with this son, isn't she? She's going to see her son on that cross beaten, cruelly whipped, blood. I don't like the pictures of Jesus because they're not horrible enough. The Bible says he didn't even look like a man. Mary was going to have some very hard times ahead of her. But God said, I'm shadowing you. What do you go through in your life? What are you facing tomorrow and next week and in the days ahead? Isn't it a wonderful truth that there's no need to doubt God's power? Whatever he's chosen you for, that he has overshadowed you, has overshadowed you. Isn't it neat to look back in your life and you ever ask, I do this all the time, Lord, how did I make it through that? You ever do that? All the time. How did I do that? This is little old weak me. I couldn't have done that. And I always bring this up when I first went off to college. It was my little red, my little yellow vet, Chevette. Not a Corvette, a Chevette. Packed with pots and pans and a U-Haul thing on top. And Abby's a little kid, little child in a car seat in the middle. And she had pots and pans and everything we could stuff in there. And she's just stuffed in the back. And I'm driving to Florida in college. And halfway down the highway, I'm saying, Lord, what have I done? No job, no money, nothing. Just believing that was God's will. You ever look, God overshadowed me and overshadowed us. Never doubt God's power. Now quickly, for one last point, hang on. Do you notice, look in verse 36. Her cousin is Elizabeth, and God tells the angel to let Mary know that Elizabeth's pregnant, because she didn't know. Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, why in the world did God tell Mary through the angel, by the way, your relative, your cousin Elizabeth is also pregnant. Prego's a spaghetti sauce. I'm sorry. You know why? Because it tells us in the verse, doesn't it? Elizabeth in her, number one, old age. And she never could have a baby. So God said to Mary, hey, I did it with your old lady cousin Elizabeth. I can do it with you. And she's never been pregnant. And I have the power to open her womb as well. So we see that God's encouraging Mary. Now, can you imagine if I have a death call and I get called out in the morning and I go to a nursing home and I'm walking inside the nursing home, and one of the nurses said, you got to come see Mary Beth. Why? Mary Beth is 97 years old, and she's pregnant. What? Yeah, she's in this room. I got to see. I mean, wouldn't that be a shocker? I heard somebody, yeah. Boy, you aren't kidding. That'd be a shocker. I think I'd go to another nursing home and pick up somebody else who had died. Elizabeth is in her old age. She's past the years of having a baby. Do you remember somebody in the Old Testament who also was past the years of having a baby? And God, Sarah, yeah, Abraham's wife, because God promised she's going to get pregnant, and from her will come the seed that will come Jesus. And so Mary, I have no problem doing this, so you can trust my power. Isn't that neat? Sometimes we skip over these verses, and there's so much there. Okay, last point. Verse 38, there's no need to resent God's plan. You ever resent what God's done in your life? I have. Be honest, take off your angel wings and your little halo and your perfectness. And I have. And thankfully, God catches me pretty quick and I deal with it. But you know what resent means? You take exception to. You know, Lord, I'm not so sure I want to be pregnant with God. I mean, I had plans with Joseph, and you know, we're going to have the big wedding, and now that was canceled. They didn't have, and boy, Jewish put it, they put it on big. That was canceled. And think of Mary. What kind of attacks is she going to get now? Mary's pregnant. Did you hear Mary's pregnant? Can you believe Mary? You mean Mary? Elizabeth? Mary, she's pregnant. I know. Who was the guy? We're not sure who the guy was. It had to be Joseph. I know. We saw her the other night at the bar. Yeah. You know how rumors go? Yeah. We always thought Mary had it in her. Yeah. She put on an act that she was so holy. You can just hear it, right? I don't know what that meant, but you can just hear it. I'm sure she got ridicule. She's pregnant. Can you imagine Mary? Hold it. I'm a virgin still. God put a baby in me. Oh my gosh, not only has she been playing around, but she's drunk. take exception to. Wow. You know, sometimes when God brings things in our life that's hard change, we can take exception to it. We can get bitter. We can get angry and walk away. She is about to have her life changed. Would you look at the last verse? Isn't this wonderful? What is her response? She didn't resent it. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord." Isn't that great? I mean, she just got her whole life story's been rewritten for her. "Let it be to me according to your word." In other words, let's do it. Let's do it. This is your plan. It's by grace. It's a privilege to be a part of it. And then the angel left. Just left. Isn't that great? What a great response. And you and I can have the same response. Lord, this is hard. Lord, I'm tempted to fear. I can't do it. And that's the best answer you can give, by the way. I can't do it. Because then you'll turn to God for help. But never forget to say, "But Lord, I want to be your servant. I'm your servant. Let it be to me as you have planned." Whatever that is. And it'd be awesome just to let people share their life stories, the difficulties and things. Well, let's pray. Father, we pray to you, the same God who sent this message to your servants, Mary and Joseph. We praise you for your perfect timing, for you choosing us to be a part of your plan, for possessing the power to carry out your will in our lives, and the knowledge that your plan is always perfect. Thank you for giving us your precious Son, who alone gives life through his death on Calvary's cross and resurrection. And thank you for giving us forgiveness of sin and forgiveness of sin and victory over death. We ask these by faith in Christ's name. Amen.